the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava.
Hi, I'm Crystal Kessler. Today, we are going to discuss with you guys the new SECURE Act and what has taken place this year, along with changes that we want to address when it comes to the tax changes that go into effect, including income tax bracket changes and the tax bracket creep.
Yeah, this is something that we wanted to cover. We've gotten a lot of requests from you, our listeners, about this. This is one that kind of surprised me because the SECURE Act was a bill that was in Congress, and it was working its way through Congress in the summer, and then it just got tabled as everything turned towards impeachment. But believe it or not, folks, on December 23rd at the late hours of the evening, this thing got passed, and it's probably one of the most sweeping changes to retirement planning that we've seen. Normally, when you have something that is this big, you hear a lot about it. It's discussed. You hear it on the evening news. And, you know, they're trying to get input and saying, hey, how's this going to fly? How does this register with the voters? But I'm really surprised, Crystal, they got this in, slipped it in the dead of night, and here it is.
I know, right before 2020. So I know that one of the most notable changes in the SECURE Act was the elimination of the stretch provision. So Jim, can you kind of go into detail of what happens when someone other than a spouse inherits an IRA?
Under the old laws, there was something called an IRA stretch. So let's say, let's take an example. You're 70 years old, you're the last survivor, you pass on, and you have a son or daughter that is 30 years old. And let's just pick out a figure. You leave them $100,000 in an IRA. Well, in the past, they could take out distributions from that IRA based on their life expectancy. Obviously, somebody at age 30 or 40 has 40 to 50 years in their life expectancy. What they did is they got rid of that, and now there is a 10-year limit. So, and this is really going to be impactful for many of you listening to this program that have sizable IRA rollovers, because now there's a 10-year period that there's a deadline. Now, let me explain that 10-year period. That 10 years doesn't mean you have to take out something every single year, 1/10 out each year. You could actually wait to the 10th year, but in the 10th year, you got to take it all out. Now, why that's important is there are many trusts that have been set up as beneficiaries on IRAs that are in accumulation mode. And a lot of it, because of either age or things like that, can impact that. And that's probably a show we need to do by ourselves. Mm-hmm. But other than spouse, and Crystal, let me point out, there are a couple other people that are exempt from this 10-year rule. Spousal beneficiaries, if you are disabled, you're not subject to this 10-year rule. If you are chronically ill, you are not subject to the 10-year rule. And then also, individuals that are not more than 10 years younger. So if you're 5 years younger than the donor, then you're not subject to it. Also, minor children are not subject until they reach the age of majority, at which time they would be subject to the 10-year rule.
So if somebody has a trust listed as the beneficiary, what should they do?
You know, you really want to talk to your financial advisor or estate planning attorney, because different trusts are written up differently. Most people, Crystal, will name their children. You know, I have three sons, so I would name my three sons as equal beneficiaries, and then the trust as a backup beneficiary. So if you are naming the trust as a beneficiary and it's in an accumulation mode, in other words, you don't have access to certain assets at a certain age, you really need to talk to your estate planning attorney or advisor, because you may need to modify this. Otherwise, you don't want somebody getting whacked in the 10th year with a big lump sum tax payment.
I completely agree. So as far as contributing to a traditional IRA, was there any changes that occurred there?
Yeah, there was. It used to be when you got 70 and a half, making contributions from a traditional IRA were no longer valid. But now, as long as you have earned income, you can contribute. Another thing that they put into effect, and this is very important for many of you that, let's say, are turning 70 and a half this year. They got rid of the 70 and a half rule, and now it's just age 72. However, I do want to point out, if you turn 72 this year, you will have to take a distribution, or You can postpone it to April of next year, but then you'll end up taking two distributions. So they basically push back the RMD or required minimum distributions back to age 72, and they got rid of the 70 and a half. So they've made it a little easier.
Yeah, I was actually very happy when I saw that they changed it to 72 because whoever made it 70 and a half made it much more difficult to think of when they needed to take their actual required minimum distributions.
Yeah, you know, a couple other things I want to talk about. There's a couple rules like the kiddie tax bracket is back to the parents bracket instead of the trust brackets, which are taxed at a higher rate at a lower level of income. And another important thing that is going to help a lot of individuals, and especially seniors that have a lot of medical expenses, with the Trump tax bill, medical deductions were not deductible unless they exceeded 10% of your adjusted gross income. They've scaled that back to 7.5. May not mean much, but now if your medical deductions exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, that's the figure on the front page, bottom of your tax return, the very line item on the bottom of the page is what we call adjusted gross income. A lot of your itemized deductions used to be based on that, but they got rid of a lot of those. They still left medical, but that's been reduced to 7.5.
Is there any other notable changes from the SECURE Act that listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, there is. There's a $5,000 qualified birth or adoption distribution where you don't have to pay any penalties. So new child, for example, non-tuition fellowships and stipend payments, non-deductible IRA contributions can be made with certain foster care payments. A couple other things that went into effect. We're not going to cover all of them. 401k provisions, one that goes into effect, long-time part-time employees who now work at least 500 hours for three consecutive years are eligible to participate in a 401k plan. There are a couple of tax extenders. We covered the adjusted the medical deduction at 7.5. And there's a whole bunch of things that are going into plans. For example, allowing annuity options in 401k plans. There was a little bit of reluctance of many plan administrators to add annuities in case the insurer went under. Now they made that much easier. But those were the main ones. If you really want to think about it, two of the big changes that took place with this act is they got rid of the IRA stretch. Now there's a 10-year limitation. And they raised the age at which you have to take distributions. They got rid of this crazy 70 and a half, which made it more difficult, and they made it to 72. But I would say, other than that, those were the main real provisions of the act.
So a lot going on with the SECURE Act, but obviously a lot more happens in 2020. What kind of changes have taken place in the tax rates as far as single and individuals and married couples?
Okay, some good news. They are indexing the tax rates. I'm not going to go through every single one of them. But for example, if you are single, the 10% bracket is, or zero bracket, is up to $9,700. Now that is about roughly $9,875. So they bumped each one of the brackets up a little bit. Not by much, but enough to make a noticeable difference. The other thing is they've indexed a number of other things that we have. For example, the standard deduction, which used to be $24,000, it was $12,000 if you were single. For 2020, the standard deduction is now $12,400. If you are married, it's $24,800. Now, this is going to impact, Crystal, a lot of retirees because a lot of them have paid for homes. They don't itemize, and so that standard deduction for many of you may be larger than when you used to itemize. So that was one thing that came in with the tax bill. They got rid of exemptions, and then there's an extra amount for those of you that are age 65 and older. That's $1,650 for an individual that you can add on to that. So that standard deduction can be quite helpful in reducing your taxes.
What about the AMT? Has anything been affected as far as that's concerned?
Yes, the exemption for 2020 is $72,900 for singles, and it's $113,400 for married couples filing jointly. And the AMT tax is basically a 28% tax rate that applies to any excess AMT taxable income for taxpayers. And that's something that was the gotcha tax that got a lot of people as a result of what I call inflation creep. And I want to get to that here in a moment. But once again, they're indexing these tax rates by the inflation rate, not by much, but enough to make a difference.
And so we all know that you love your dividend earners and long-term capital gains. Has anything changed in those brackets going forward?
Yes. If you are single and you have dividends or capital gains, you can make up to $40,000 and pay zero taxes on dividends and capital gains. It's $80,000 if you're married. And then the 15% bracket begins at over $40,000, so $40,000, $1, and $80,000, $1. And then you're in a 15% bracket. This is the beautiful thing for a lot of you who are retired that want to stay in the low tax bracket. The 15% tax bracket goes all the way up to $441,450 before you jump into the 20% bracket, and $496,600 before you jump into the 20% bracket if you're married. So think about that. You can make up to let's just round it off and say $441,000 single and only pay 15% on capital gains and dividends. However, there's a gotcha clause that's still in effect. I'm going to cover that in just a minute. But once again, if you are married, all the way up to $496,000, you can pay only 15%. So there's some great things there.
Oh, yes. For all of our business owners who listen to the show, has anything changed when it comes to qualified business deductions for 2020?
Yeah, the threshold for single individuals is $163,300, and it is for a married couple, $326,600. So all of these have got bumped up just a tad by a couple percent for 2020. So that's basically the good news.
Yeah, that's really good. I know you wanted to talk about some of the new contribution limits for pension limits of 2020. Did you want to go into some of those changes that took effect?
Yeah, let's talk about the 401k contribution. If you are under age 50, it used to be $19,000. That is increased by $500 for 2020. So now you can contribute up to $19,500. The catch-up provision, this applies to many of you that are over age 50, the catch-up provision goes from $6,000 to $6,500. So when you really think about it, it's almost $26,000? Yeah, $26,000. Thank you for doing the math for me.
You're welcome.
Sorry, folks, I can't add. Okay. A couple other things. The simple retirement accounts have been bumped up from $13,000 to $13,500. A lot of these are going up by $500. The phase out for contributions are $65,000 to $75,000 single, $104,000 to $124,000. So once again, some increases that helps many of you out, a little bit of a bracket creep, and the Roth phase out is $124,000 to $139,000 for contributing to a regular Roth IRA, and for a married couple, it's $196,000 to $206,000. So a little bit of good news there for you that are thinking about taxes for 2020, because it is tax season. You will be thinking a lot about this in the next 4 months, and we're going to try to help you plan through that as we have a number of programs that we plan on doing all the way up to tax time.
Mm-hmm. So I know, Jim, you've been eager to talk about this. What with the new tax bracket creeps, what are some of the areas that haven't been adjusted for inflation?
Yeah, this thing really, folks, it's getting more and more people into what I call gotcha taxes. And a good example was the Trump tax bill. Back in 1987, Congress passed a bill and they put a limit on the amount that you could deduct on interest to $1 million plus additional $100,000 for, let's say, a second mortgage or a second home, maybe a vacation home. Well, as a result of the new tax bill, instead of $1 million or $1.1 million, they dropped that to $750,000. Now, here's the problem with that. If you take when this was put into effect in 1987 and just take the annual CPI, that figure should be 2 million mortgage today if you were to keep up with, let's say, bracket creep or inflation. So instead of increasing it to allow, you know, homes are obviously more expensive today than what you could have bought a home in 1987, that figure should be $2 million. Now, here's another one that is going to catch a lot of you if you're retired. And that is, at one point, they used to tax, Social Security was non-taxable. Then they added up to 50% of your Social Security would be subject to tax. Then they raised that during the Clinton years to up to 85% of your Social Security could be taxed. But here's the thing. They never indexed that figure from the day it was passed in 1994. It remains today $34,000 if you are single, $44,000 if you are married. And so this is just one example. And this is done, by the way, intentionally. Congress wanted you to pay more and more taxation on your Social Security. So just about almost everybody is subject to paying some form of tax on their Social Security. And let me give you another one. This came in with Obamacare. There is a 3.8% surtax on investment income if you are single making $200,000. Now, let me give you an example of that. Let's say you have earned income of $200,000, you're single, but you have, let's say, $10,000 of dividends or capital gains or interest. It could be rent. In addition to the capital gains rate, which is probably going to be for most people 15%, you have to add 3.8% on top of that for any investment income over $200,000 if you're single, $250,000 if you are married. So, and those figures aren't indexed for inflation. And the one that is probably most grievous, and of course, and you think back to the financial crisis in 2007, in 2009, when a lot of people were losing money in the market. If you have a capital gain and you have a capital loss, you can use your capital losses to offset directly against your capital gains. However, if you have no capital gains, you can only use $3,000 of your capital losses against your ordinary income as a deduction. However, you can carry that forward. To give you an example, if that was to be indexed to inflation, this was put into law in 1978, and they haven't changed it. To make it more applicable today to inflation, instead of $3,000, that figure should be $12,000. So, Crystal, this is just a good example where bracket creep is really coming in and hitting more and more individuals as a result of inflation.
It would be nice if it was at $12,000, though, in capital losses, if we could do that. So as far as Social Security, what are some of the notable changes that people should be aware of when they are taking Social Security?
Okay, if you're receiving, about ready to receive Social Security, you're on Social Security, brace yourself for the windfall I'm about to tell you. Your Social Security benefits are going up 1.6% this year. That'll probably buy maybe dinner at McDonald's. So, anyway,
I hope everyone was sitting down for that one.
Yeah, they were. So benefits are going up 1.6%, but not so fast. On the other side of things, we're going to be seeing increases in Medicare premiums. The standard monthly premium for Medicare Part B will go up to $144.60 per month in 2020. That's an increase of $9.10 from last year at $135.50. And one of the things that we've really seen probably in the last 4 years, we saw it with anybody that has, if you're an employer and you have medical insurance, you know, I know in our own case, our medical premiums have doubled over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's hard to believe just 3 or 4 years ago, the Medicare premium was only $109. Now it's going to be $144.60. And I want to point out, and this came in with the Bush tax Medicare Part D, I think it was in 2005. We now have 6 brackets for Medicare premiums. If you make over $174,000, your premium this year will go to $202.40. And if you make over $218, it goes to $289. If you make over $272, it goes to $376 a month. If you make over $326, it goes to $462.70. And anything over $750,000, it is $491.60. That's almost $1,000 for a couple if you're Larry Lotsabucks. So Social Security benefits have only gone up 1.6%.
So what does that mean for Medigap? Is there any changes there?
Yeah, one of the most popular plans, there's an alphabet of programs. If you go on Social Security, You need to understand that Social Security only covers about 60% of your medical expenses. So to make up the difference, there's something called Medigap Insurance. They have plans A to all the way MNOP. They might as well do the whole alphabet. But the most popular plan was Plan F. It covered the deductibles. And they did away with Plan F for 2020 new enrollees. If you have Plan F, you can keep it. But for new enrollees, Plan F has gone away. There is Plan G. The only difference between the two is Plan G does not cover your Medicare deductibles, which, by the way, also went up for, I forgot to mention that, your annual deductible for Medicare Part B goes up to $198 in 2020. That's an increase of $13 from $185 in 2019. If you had Plan F, your Medicare deductible was covered. If you don't have Plan F, and which if you're enrolling for Social Security this year for the first time, let's say you're turning age 65, well, the best plan you can probably get out there is Plan G. The difference is they're not going to cover that $198 deductible. And the reason a lot of people have been saying, why are my Medicare premiums going up, Medicare, Medigap, all of that, the main increase in Part B premiums and deductibles is largely due to rising spending on physician-administered drugs. The bad news is your Medicare premiums are going up a little bit faster than your Social Security benefits.
So yeah, definitely a lot of changes happening here in 2020.
Yeah, and I would say, folks, do yourself a favor. If you have an IRA, a large IRA, take a look at your beneficiary provisions. And this is something you need to talk to your advisors about. So let's say you're Larry Lots of Bucks. You have $900,000 in your IRA. You have three children, and you've named your three children as beneficiaries. Under the old rules, each one of your kids could take their one-third, this case $300,000. They could take it out over their life expectancy. Now, your kids are going to have to take it out within a 10-year period. So you might want to sit down, call your advisor, and say, what can I do? And in the first place, you really do need to know who your beneficiaries are on your IRA if you have a stretch, or if also you've named your trust instead of your children as the beneficiaries of your IRA, and then that trust goes in a different direction. There's a whole slew of different rules that could come into play that could create a taxable problem for you and your heirs. So really do yourself a favor. You might want to listen to this over and over. We're going to do some more programs on this, on tax planning to get you through the tax season, because folks, taxes are going up. They're going up with inflation and bracket creep, as I mentioned, the mortgage deduction, the standard deduction. Oh, I forgot to mention another thing that hasn't been indexed. And that is if you own a principal residence, it used to be you had to roll over. If you owned a home and you had gains, and if you rolled it over into another house of equal value, you didn't have to pay any capital gains. Well, they changed that back in 1994. And they came in and said, if you are married, you can have up to $500,000 in capital gains and without paying any taxes, and $250,000 if you were single. They have not increased that since 1994, and you would have to have almost equivalent. That figure would have to be close to $2 million today, or almost $1 million if you're single, to have kept even with inflation. And this is how bracket creep is really coming into play and catching more and more Americans. And they did that deliberately. They want to get more tax revenues as a result of inflation. Do yourself a favor. This is the beginning of the year. Talk to a qualified advisor, because there's a lot of changes going into effect regarding IRAs, pensions, taxes, just all the way across the board. That's just the way this tax system works. And you really need to be prepared and do some planning.
I completely agree. A lot of financial planning opportunities here coming in the new year. If you want to get in touch with an advisor, give us a call at Financial Sense. The number here is 888-486-3939. Again, that's 888-486-3939.
In the meantime, on behalf of Crystal and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here for Lifetime Planning. You might want to listen to this program over and over, because this is going to catch a lot of you this year. a lot of you that have IRAs and beneficiaries and children. It's going to affect a lot of you with pension plans and a lot of you with certain itemized deductions. So do pay attention, but there is some good news here, and we'll be talking more about this in the weeks to come. In the meantime, until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.